Mark chapter 1 verse 1 says this is good news. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Gospel means good news. But the good news could mean just about anything. We heard it just a second ago. Different levels of it. For instance, you get a raise, that's good news. But I suspect that the person that found out that they were going to have a baby boy in the way that was said is good news, feels like their good news is better than that good news. Right? There's always going to be different levels of good news. Give me an idea. Give me the lowest level good news. Lowest level good news.
My son came home, didn't get in trouble at school.
My son didn't get in trouble at school today. That's a good one. It never happened in my life, but I'm glad to hear it happens in somebody's. So, tell me something good news that's just on the surface. Surface level good news. Yeah, it's treatable. Surface level good news.
I made it home from work today.
Made it home from work today. Or I had a job today. Or there was somebody at home when I got home today. There's all kinds of certain levels of good news. Now take it up a level. Take it up a notch. The next level of good news would be something that would last longer. Because how long is the... Well, we had supper tonight. That's a good news. But that only lasts until I get home and I'm hungry again. So what's the next level of good news?
She said yes.
Yes. Right. A man proposes and she says yes. That's a level of good news, at least for a little while. It's a level of good news, right? All right. Give me a next level of good news that lasts even longer. I'm clean and sober. Boy, that is good news. Give me another level of good news.
Found a place, it's frozen fast, but it's a place to live.
Place to live. I'm clean and sober. I've got supper. She said yes. All levels of good news. But there is one good news. There's one level of good news that's the best news, and it's this one. There's good news about Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. Now, I'm going to say it, and then we're going to have to spend the rest of our time tonight and any other night God gives us on Wednesdays proving it. But folks, there's a good news that we forget about. There's a good news. We crave good news like raises, finding apartments, getting a job, finding a mate, having a sandwich. I mean, we crave that kind of good news, and we do anything we can to get that good news to be true in our lives. We want it. We crave it. We got to have it, right? There is a good news that goes beyond all that, and I think we forget it sometimes. We get so caught up in raises and apartments and jobs and paying a bill, which all of that's good news, but we get to a point that we forget what is the best news. The best news doesn't just last a few days with a raise. It doesn't last just a few minutes with a lunch. It doesn't last just a few years with a marriage. The best kind of news lasts forever. And that's what Jesus does for people who believe that He is the Son of God. Now, we're going to prove it to you, but that's where we start. Now, in this room, there are people who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I'm not going to ask you to hold up your hand. You don't have to say anything out loud. But if you believe He's the Son of God, it makes sense that you would admit that to people, right? Because it's a significant thing to believe. But there's also people in this room, serious. There are people in this room that do not believe He's the Son of God. And you notice, they still got a sandwich. And they still got a place to sit. And nobody pushed them away. Nobody put them at the back of the line. Nobody said mean things to them. No, we don't do that here. Whether you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God or not does not determine whether or not you're going to be treated with acceptance here or even affection here. But we're going to say, I'm going to say it. I won't speak for anybody else. I'm going to tell you what I believe is, I believe what Mark believes. Mark says he believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm going to tell you I believe it too. I guess that's truth in advertising. You're going to have to hear me talk about it. But I'm telling you I believe, and I believe there's reason to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, time out a second. Time out. If you do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you don't believe this Bible stuff, if you don't believe this Jesus stuff, you are always welcome here. Serious. And I'd encourage you even more now. I mean, you're going to be more than welcome. Because I'd love not to just have you sit and visit with us like this and listen to me talk about Jesus. I'd love for us to sit down without anybody else around, no prying eyes, no listening ears, and us sit down and talk about. And I want to hear why you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And then I want a chance to tell you why I believe He is. And let's talk about it. And let's figure out what you learned that maybe I need to learn, or maybe what I learned that you need to learn. So if you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, please do not leave here thinking, well, that guy believes Jesus is the Son of God. I do. But that doesn't mean I'm going to treat you bad if you don't. I just want us to, I want us to get to visit. I want us to talk. I want us to have a chance to get to know why each other believes what we believe, okay? But for the moment, Mark says he believed Jesus is the Son of God, and I agree with him. I agree that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, for those of you who do believe that Jesus is the Son of God, what's something Jesus did? Tell me something Jesus did in the world that made people believe He was His son, God's Son. He turned water into wine. And there are people in here who are thinking, oh, if He did that kind of deal, I might believe in Him. Yeah. What else? What did Jesus do? What kind of things did Jesus do that would have caused anybody to believe that He was the Son of God? He made a blind person see.
I don't know what he did for a lot of people, but the other night, I live 1.3 miles from my job, and I was walking, and I just bought a beer, and I had it in the bag, and I was walking. I said, God, I'm tired. I said, just help me find a ride. And I said, so-and-so. I said, you have a beer in your hand. I said, He's not going to give you a ride whatsoever. So I'm walking 0.5 miles. This guy pulls over and picks me up, and I don't know who it is, and I go to the car. It was the same guy that had shared his testimony with me a week prior, and I was like, oh, my goodness. I was like, okay, you're there.
God know where you are?
Yeah.
And know what you're doing?
Just made me, those are like epiphany for me right there. So, like,
all right.
But that's what He did to me to make me believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
When Mark writes down that he believes that Jesus is the Son of God, he's going to spend the rest of his little old book, we broke it down into 16 chapters, he's going to spend the rest of the book telling you why he believes that. Now, we're not going to look at every miracle. We're not going to look at every special thing Jesus did. But I'm going to look at a couple, okay? I want you to look in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Now, while you're getting to verse 35, I got to tell you, those of you who grew up going to church, you need to hear this. Those of you who did not grow up going to church, just ignore this silliness for a second, okay? Just ignore it. Those of us who grew up going to church went to Bible classes, kids. And teachers in our Bible classes used to teach us with something called flannel graph figures, okay? And the little flannel graph figures are little fuzzy people cut out of paper. And they all look alike. They all look alike. And so if you look at different Bible characters in flannel graph, here's Adam. And then here's Noah. And Adam looks just like Noah, except Noah has clothes on and Adam has fig leaves strategically placed. And here's Moses. And he looks just like Noah, except his beard is longer and it's wider. You move to the New Testament, you see the same kind of thing. Here's Jesus when He's feeding the 5,000. Here's Jesus when He's calming the storms. Here's Jesus asleep in the back of the boat. I mean, we see Him as a flannel graph. That's how we grew up. So those of you who grew up going to church and having that picture of Jesus, He is not flannel. He's not flannel graph. He's not gold plated. He's not mahogany carved. He's not plastic coated. He's not white chocolate glow in the dark Jesus. He is real. He's just like us. And when you read these words, when you read these stories, you're supposed to let yourself see, hear, smell, taste, and feel what they did. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. What time of day is it? It's evening. Just like it is here. Sun's going down, right? Now, where is Jesus with His disciples? Where is Jesus and His friends? They're in a boat. Now, that's not hard. Just keep reading. You'll find it. Jesus is with his buddies. Now, hang on a second. I just said disciples, and then I said buddies. For those of us who went to church all our lives, we hear the word disciples, and we know immediately who he's talking about. Jesus called them one by one, Peter, Andrew. We've sung the song all our lives, okay? If you never went to church, if you don't know this, I say disciples, you don't know what that means. I sing that song and you think, please stop singing. I mean, these are his closest friends. These are the fellas he ran with. All right? And for those of you who went to church all of your life, you're feeling a little bit nervous about me saying Jesus hung out with these fellas. They were his posse, okay? Jesus is with these fellas and they're in a boat. What time of day is it? It's getting dark, right? The sun's going down. They start across the Sea of Galilee. Now, folks, this is a big old lake that is so big they named it a sea, so it's a big deal. They start across. It's a fishing boat. So it's probably got a sail, and I know it's got some oars, and so they're going across the Sea of Galilee. Well, something happens. Read in the text and tell me what happens. I don't want you to don't make it up. Just tell me what happens. What comes up? A furious squall. Now, anybody want to guess what a furious squall is?
Strong wind.
It's a strong wind. I got a friend who was in China trying to read this story, or trying to teach this story to a Chinese girl. She was trying to teach English. So the girl was reading in English this story, and she said, "And there arose a furious squall." Be careful for furious squirrels, y'all. But it says a strong wind came up. A furious squall came up. Now, what time of day is it? It's evening. What? Where are they? They're in a boat out in the middle of a sea, and a furious squall, a strong wind comes up. What does the boat begin to do immediately? And I love it. Somebody always says rock, and I didn't hear who said it tonight. But rock means, if you're at the dock, the boat is rocking, right? If you step in the boat, it's going to rock. If you're in the middle of a sea, a lake that's a sea, and it's a big storm, what's the boat doing? It is jumping up and down. It's going up with every wave, and it's coming down after everybody leaves. Keep reading. What's happening to the boat? It is taking on water. Now, it says that so simply. It's taking on water. Tell me, if you're one of the fellas in the boat, now there were 12 of those guys with Jesus, 13 fellas in this boat. This is not a canoe. This is not a kayak. This is a small fishing boat, and they've been out on storms before. But this boat is beginning to take on water. Now, if you are in a boat that is starting to take on water, what's happening to you physically? You're getting wet, right? Now, is the wind blowing? Yes, so if the wind is blowing and you're wet, how are you feeling? What time of day? Evening. It's getting dark. The wind's blowing. There's no sunlight. You're wet. You start to get cold, except if you're in a boat that's taking on water, what are you doing? Some of you would start to throw up. Some of you would start to bail because you didn't want to drown, right? And others who knew how, then there were how many fishermen in that boat? How many fellas knew about boats? How many fellas knew about fishing? How many fellas knew about storms? There's four of them. Their names are Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They're all fishermen. I suspect they're the ones that have the oars, and they're rowing. And where are they rowing? Which direction do you row? Those of you who know anything about water, I grew up in West Texas, so do not ask me. But they tell me, if you're in a storm, where do you put the bow of the boat? The front of the boat. What do? You go into the wind, because that's how it's going to ride the wind best, right? That's how it's going to ride the waves best. So they're rowing, trying to keep that thing into the wind. They're rowing, and then the water's crashing in, and they're bailing. What time of day?
Evening.
It's evening. It's dark. The wind's blowing. It's cold. They're scared. Somebody's throwing up. I do not know if they had any conversation, but if they didn't, it'd be the only time this bunch of fellas didn't have. You go to reading about these fellas, they've all got different personalities. They are not flannel graph people. They were real. Can you hear some of the those of us who grew up going to church can hear the conversations, can't we? Thomas going to row? Thomas going to bail? Nope, he doubts that they're going to live. I don't know if that's right. Matthew going to row? Matthew going to bail? No, he's an accountant. He's a tax collector. He's an IRS agent, and I love them. To whoever's listening, yes, I love them. Now, I mean, he's trying to figure out, well, listen, if we die now, do we have to pay taxes? I mean, I don't know what he's doing, but he doesn't know how to bail. He doesn't know how to row. He's a tax collector. Judas going to row? No, he's thinking about, I'm going to bail out of here and let these guys drown, but how am I going to carry this money sack with me? He's worried about his money. That's his nature. Any one of them going to be talking? If anybody's talking, who's it going to be? See, those of us who grew up going to church, we know there's a fellow named Peter in the Bible, and he had a problem, like some of us have, with saying things when he shouldn't. I got to believe if anybody say anything, it's Peter. And he's probably hollering, Matthew, you better put that calculator down and go to bailing. And Thomas, stop doubting and keep, and Judas, leave that money. And I imagine he's threatening, and if you don't start bailing, I'm going to get out and walk. And I don't, but they're fussing. They're trying to keep this thing alive. They're trying to keep this thing afloat. Water's crashing in. The wind's blowing. What time of day? Evening. So it's cold. They're scared. And guess what they notice? Look in the text and tell me what they notice. What do they notice? They notice that Jesus is asleep. Now, time out a second. First, you can't... Don't miss this. Where is he? He's in the back of the boat. In a boat that's doing what? Pitching up and down. Water splashing in on top of him. And what's he doing? Tell me what you know about Jesus, just real quick. He's got to be exhausted. Got to be exhausted. You sleep through something like that, you've got to be just so worn out. I cannot read this verse and cannot discuss this thing without thinking how much I love him. That he would work that hard and do that much good for people. Even folks that were going to do him wrong later. He wore himself out for folks like us. He's wrapped up in a sail maybe in the back of that boat and he's asleep. And these fellas that have been bailing, these fellas that have been rowing, these fellas that have been crying for help or throwing up out of sickness, they finally notice Jesus is not asleep. And what do they do? Look in the Bible and tell me what they said, what they did. Now, if you grew up going to church like me, the preacher at this point would say, and they turned to Jesus and said, carest thou not that we perish? I don't know what careth means, but carest thou not that we perish? Well, is that how they said it? It wasn't, now folks, this wasn't written in flannel graph either. These were real fellas scared to death. Now tell me what the you tell me. I don't want to make it up. Tell me what you think their emotion was. Don't you care if we die? What's their emotion?
Hysteria.
Their scare, hysteria, has turned now into anger. And you know this is right. You know this is right. You ever be doing some job at home, I mean, or at church even, you're setting up tables and there's a bunch of people that are not helping? And we get a pretty good plague of that around here. Just let that sit for a minute. We got some folks that like to just stand around here too. But you're working, you're putting up the chairs, or it's Thanksgiving dinner and all the dinner's over and the guys are in their living room on the couch taking naps and burping while you're having to wash the dishes. How are you feeling about those fellas? How do you feel about the ones that just stand around and do nothing? Whoa, you mad. You're fired up mad. I can't say that because that's on recording and I'll be in trouble. But you know that feeling, right? You know how mad they were. They turn around to Jesus and they're accusing, don't you care if we die? What's wrong with you? And Jesus wakes up. Now, in my little flannel graph world Bible classes, they always had the little flannel graph guy. Oh, the little flannel graph Jesus, they always had him stand up in the boat. Do you stand up in a boat that's... Well, my dad taught you never stood up in a boat. But do you stand up in a boat that's pitching up and down? No, he woke up... I don't know, did he stretch? Oh. Hush! And he, in a loud voice, he said, and Esther jumped. I bet they did too. He said, now... Let me say this for those of you who are churchgoers, and Jesus said, peace beeth stilleth. You read what he said. These angry, upset, scared, cold, tired, sick, worried to death fellas get mad at him, wake him up.
He comes out of a deep sleep.
Hush. I bet you, I don't bet, but I bet you everybody sitting in the boat, everybody in the boat went, yes, sir. And I bet you. But who listened? Who listened? The whole world listened. The storm listened. And it got quiet. And the boat quit pitching. The wind quit blowing. Now how do they feel? Don't read. Don't read it. You know it. How do they feel?
They're tripping.
Tripping. Yeah, they're tripping. Yeah. How do they feel? Okay, honest. The fella you just screamed at can order the world to hush. How do you feel? Read it. Now read it. Tell me what it says. How do they feel?
Afraid.
They were terrified. Because they had just screamed at the fella who could take charge of the world. And they asked the right question. They said, who is this that even the wind and waves obey him? So I tell you what, you answer the question. Who is it? Now they knew his name was Jesus. They're not asking that. What are they asking? What are they asking? You tell me. I've been doing all the talking. You tell me. What are they asking? And who in the world are you? Or who out of the world are you? I mean, who gave you this kind of power? How'd you do that? This is not some trick. No. This is a real deal. He said peace, and there was peace. He said hush, and the world listened. And so did 12 fellows in the boat. And they said, who is it? Three questions. Write these down. Anytime you talk to your friends about Jesus, anytime you bring up one of these special stories about Jesus, Bible calls them miracles, but anytime you want to bring up one of these special stories, ask three questions. The first is, what can men do with the situation? What can men do with that deal? And the answer to this one is, absolutely nothing. Can they row real hard? Yeah. Bail real fast? Shout real loud. Yep, they can do all of that. Does it calm the storm? Now, you know what's funny? When I said that, I'm looking at folks, and we've shared some storms. Have you caught yourself doing the same thing in your storms? You're rowing real hard, bailing real fast, yelling real loud. You know?
That's a man yell, right?
Yeah. I've heard you do that. You know? Did it do any good? Does it do any good?
No.
No. In fact, some of you have decided to jump out of the boat in the middle of the storm. Uh-uh. In the middle of the storm, where's the safest place to be? Wherever Jesus is. That's right. Second question. Who is this that even the wind and waves obey him? I know his name's Jesus, but who is it? If Jesus can do what no man can do, if Jesus can do what no man can do, what does that make him? Follow it through. If Jesus can do what no man can do, what does that make him? Who does that make him? That makes him something more than a man, right? Now, Mark said he's the Son of God. I'll let you work through the reasoning there. And I'd love to talk to you about it. But Mark says it. He proves it. Look at what men could do. Second question was, look what Jesus can do. And then number three is, who is this? If Jesus can do what a man can't do, he must be more than a man. Now, here's the point for us. Here's the good news for us. Is there anybody in this room, and you don't have to hold up your hand, you can if you want to, You don't have to testify or anything. You can if you want to. But anybody in here know anything of what it's like to go through a storm and be scared that you're not going to be able to make it?
I do that every day.
Anybody sitting in here? Anybody, or do you, if we can't talk about it in here, you know anybody? Are there people in this town, in this room or in this town that are going through storms that don't believe they're going to make it through? They're scared to death. Now they're rowing hard and they're bailing fast and they're screaming loud, but they're not making any, they're not going anywhere. They're not doing anything and they just believe there is no hope. And they're scared to death that they're never going to make it. You know what the good news is? When nobody else can help you, Jesus can. I don't know what the situation is. I do for a bunch of you. But those of you visiting, I don't know you that well. But I'm telling you, there are situations in your life that have made you afraid. There are situations in your life that have got you freaked out. There are things in your life that have got you to the point that you're just so desperate you can't hang on. I'm telling you, if you're in a situation that you cannot do anything about, just keep rowing, keep bailing, keep yelling. But understand this, when nobody else can help you, Jesus can. There is good news. But when that storm calmed, they were frightened, but they realized something that they hadn't before. This Jesus who we follow has something, has more power than the world. The Jesus you follow has more power than this whole world. So when you get freaked, remember, there's good news. Jesus can. Jesus can help you. Right, what time of day is it? I don't know. Maybe it's night now, by now, you think? Maybe it's starting to be morning. I don't know. But they finally get to the other side. So if it's night or early morning fog, the boat hits the beach. Now stop being Bible readers for a second and just be real living people. If you had been in the boat in a storm and you were soaking wet, scared to death, cold, sick, mad, scared again, and all of a sudden there was peace and the boat hit the beach, what would you do first? Well, now that the storm has ceased, let's roll back to the other side. No, what do you want to do? You want to get out of the boat. What do you want to do when you get out of the boat? Kiss the ground, yeah. What else do you want to do when you get out of the boat? Think practical. You want to get dry. How are you going to get dry?
Start a fire.
You got to start a fire. You're going to look for fire. I don't know. I'm just thinking that's what I would be doing. I'd be wanting to look around for wood. Now, hang on a second. What time of day? Night, probably early morning, maybe. Where did they land? The one place you don't want to be at night. The one place nobody wants to be at night. Cemetery. That's right. They landed in the graveyard. Read it. I didn't make it up. Not making it up. They landed in a place, depending on how your Bible words it, Gerasenes or Gadarenes. They landed in a place and they land in the area of the tombs. They land in their style of graveyard. Now folks, did you already have a creepy, crawly night coming across? Yeah. Are your nerves shot? Yeah. You get out of the boat, you start picking up firewood, and you find out you're in a graveyard. Does that add anything to this wonderful adventure? And then, you guess what? You meet somebody. It says there was a man who lived in the tombs. Now, you don't have to know anything. You don't have to know any theology. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to know this. You meet somebody who lives in a graveyard. What do you know about them?
Creepy,
probably not right. Family relative, I heard that. Yeah, okay. If you meet somebody who lives in a graveyard, what do you know? His lights may be on, but nobody's home. There's something wrong with this fella. Now you keep reading and you'll find out. This fella was possessed with a demon. Now we'll talk about that later, but he's possessed with a demon. In other words, the devil has control of him. But this fella has a bunch of little devils in him. Devilettes. The little demons all in him and they're in control of him, right? Now, what do you know about him? First of all, he lives in a graveyard. That settles it, right? But it says they had put him there. The people in town had chained him into the tombs. And what did he do? He broke the chains. So what does that tell you? He's strong, very muscular. I mean, he's built like me. I mean, he can rip those chains, man. Aaron, why'd you laugh? All right. He is hulked out, man. He's breaking chains, right? You notice anything else about him? Keep reading. It says that, what did he do night and day? What does it say in the text that he did night and day? He would cry out and what? Cut himself with stones. Okay? Now, let's get real for a second. Tell me, why would anybody cut themselves? Think it through. Why would anybody cut themselves? I'm sorry? Maybe they were trying. He's trying to end his life. Maybe it was a suicide attempt. Why does anybody injure themselves?
The pain that you inflict on yourself helps you.
It distracts you from the pain on the inside. Counselors deal with it all the time. You got a pain so great on the inside that if you cut yourself, it distracts you from the pain on the inside. Does it take it away? Does it help? No, it doesn't. And listen to me. If you're having some trouble with that, if there's somebody in here that's doing that, if you're hurting yourself or thinking about hurting yourself, listen. Hang on. Do not give up. Do not give up, all right? Let's talk. Don't leave here tonight until we get a chance to talk. But this man was cutting himself with stones. So what does he look like? Tell me what he looks like. If he's been cutting himself with a stone night and day, what does he look like? Does he have some open wounds? Does he have some scabs? Does he have some sores? Does he have some scars? Yes. Now what you don't know about this fella is you check it out. I'll let you check it out when you have time. Luke chapter 8, talking about the same fella, says this fella has no clothes. He's naked. What time of day is it? Night? Maybe early morning? You're at the beach? You're soaking wet? Scared to death? Emotionally, physically, you're exhausted from all the rowing and the bailing and the throwing up and the screaming? Emotionally, you're spent from all the fear and the anger and all that up and down. And then you hear, and I'm not making this up, this guy was crying. We talking about crying like sniff, sniff crying? No. This guy is screaming. Oh, a horrible old, and I won't do it because Esther would pass. He's screaming. You hear what time of day? Night, early morning, fog, I don't know, man. You turn around and look, and coming through the moonlight or the early morning fog is a wild, hairy, crazy, naked, scarred, scab, oozing, sore, bleeding, naked man. What do you do?
Get back in the boat.
Get back in the boat, yeah. I told you we should go back now. What do you do? And there's no place to run. There's no place to run. You can't run away from him, so you just got to run sideways. So where do you run? What do you do? Now, it's the first thought that comes to my mind. I see 12 grown men acting like little boys hiding behind their mama. They get behind Jesus and look around him. And Jesus doesn't back up an inch. In fact, Jesus has been looking forward to this. He said, "Hey, what's your name?" And the demon's like, "My name's Legion." Ooh, that gives you the willy. And Jesus says, "Get out of there." And he sends those demons into the pigs and they run off. Now that would have been a sight, right? All those old sleeping pigs. And then they start running off. And the guy's watching the pigs going, "What's happened to the pigs?" They're running off and dying, drowning in the ocean. And Jesus is standing there with this naked, crazy, bleeding man having a conversation with him. Now look in verse 15. Look in verse 15. You're talking about something to make the hair stand up. You're talking about something to get your attention. Look at verse 15. They came out and they found Jesus with this fella. What do you know about him? What does it say? He's sitting. He's not running anymore. And what? He's dressed. He's not naked anymore. And? He's in his right mind. He's not crazy anymore. Ding, 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 ding. Flashing lights. Who is this? Who is this that can talk to demons and demons obey? That's the question that's got to be answered. So, when you talk about a special story, when you talk about a special story about Jesus, Ask three questions. What are they? Number one, what could man do with him? What could man do with this guy? Nothing. Did they try? Yeah, in fact, if you look back up at the first part of the section we were reading, it says no man could tame him. I believe it's verse 4. No man could tame him. Had they tried? You betcha they'd tried. Chains and everything. It didn't do any good. What could Jesus do? What could Jesus do? This one's real easy, folks. You just read it. What could Jesus do? Saved him. Healed him. I don't care what word you use. Rescued him. Exercised that demon out of him. He delivered that man. So who is this? Who is this that even demons obey? Well, if Jesus can do what no man can do, he's got to be more than a man, right? If Jesus can do more than any man, if Jesus can do what men can't do, he must be... got to be more than a man. Mark says he's the Son of God. I believe he is too. And what's interesting is the demons that he cast out believed he was the Son of God, and the fellow that he rescued from the demons believes he's the Son of God. You ever been miserable? I'm talking real miserable, like this fellow. You ever wanted to die? Again, you don't have to hold up your hand, but I'd love for us to have a chance to talk. You ever wanted to die? You ever done something hoping that it would result in you dying? That's how this man felt. Have you ever been in such a place in your life that you don't believe there's ever going to be any good news ever again? There is no hope. So I might as well just end my life. You ever been in that situation? Well, I'm going to tell you and won't point to anybody. There are people in this room that have been there. There are people in this room that have been there. But you think there's anybody in your family? You think there's anybody in this town that's been there? Anybody you know that's so miserable they wish they could end it? What's the good news for them? What's the good news for you? When nobody else can help you, when the doctors can't help you, when your family's tired of you and they can't help you, they've spent all they can, all emotionally and financially, and they can't help you, when your friends can't help you, when your wife, your kids, your husband, your parents, when they can't help you, when nobody else can help you, what's the good news?
Jesus can.
Folks, I believe it. Not just theory, not just theology, I believe it. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in Scripture first, and that settles it. But I've seen it in my life, and I've seen it in the life of other people, that if you will do what the storm did, if you will do what the demons did, you can find the same kind of help. So what do you do? What do you do? I'll let you tell me. What did the disciples do when they got in a situation that they were too afraid to handle and couldn't handle? They turned to Jesus. What did the demon-possessed man when he couldn't solve his own issue or nobody else could solve his issue? What did he do? He ran to Jesus. I tell you folks, it starts off that simple. If you're in a mess, if you've got your life in a mess, if you've got your family in a mess, if you've got your finances in a mess, if you've got your marriage in a mess, if you've got your soul in a mess, turn toward Jesus. Find Jesus. Come to Jesus. Run to Jesus. You don't have to wake Him up because He's waiting, watching. He wants you to know that He's here to help. And then what do you do? This one is the simplest of the bunch. What did the storm do? What did the storm do? Listen. What did the demons do?
Listen.
Listen. If Folks, it's not very profound. Doesn't sound very theological. There's no ETHs at the end of my words. You want to find help? You want anybody in your life to find help from Jesus? You find yourself in trouble that you can't handle? Turn toward Jesus. And when you turn toward Jesus, you be ready to do whatever He wants you to do. Listen to Him. Just do what He wants you to do. I asked a lady one time, I'll tell you more about her later, but I asked a lady one time if she believed in Jesus, and she said, I sure do. And I said, are you willing to listen to Him like the storm did, like the demons did? And she said, yeah, if I just knew what He wanted me to do. And so maybe that's where you are. Maybe you don't know what Jesus wants you to do. Don't leave here without asking. Don't leave here without asking. If you want help and nobody else can help you, there is good news. And that good news is Jesus can help. Find Him. Turn toward Him. Seek Him. Whatever way you want to say it. Run to Jesus and listen. Listen to Him. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thanks for tonight, for these folks, their attention. I could tell, God, just by looking, you know better than I do, but some of them are very tired. Some are tired because they've worked hard. Some are tired because they're confused. Some are tired because they're people that are trying to hurt them. And some, God, are just tired. And they'd just soon not live any longer if it's up to you, up to them. So God, I thank You for Jesus, and we ask for His help. Would You tonight open hearts of everybody here, help us receive what You said, that Jesus can help us, that is good news for us. And then, God, hold on to that. Help us hold on to that in spite of the storms or in spite of what the devil does. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One more thing, and I'm done. Let you go. If Jesus could calm storms back then, and if He could cast out demons back then, do you think Jesus could help people who are going through tough times now? Or you think Jesus could help somebody who's struggling with the devil now? I believe so. He's the Son of God. You know somebody. Somebody in your family. Somebody where you work. Somebody you know needs to hear some good news that Jesus can help them. We're going to have supper next Wednesday. Invite them to supper. Invite them to supper and let them know there's going to be good news. There's going to be good news and supper. Or maybe start with the supper and then tell them good news. All right? Thanks, y'all.
You sort of like the iPhone keeps getting better, huh?
I think so. I had pretty much the same as Florida. I just got a bit of